Tiffany, Ricky, and I actually belong to the pastors of this church. I'm their third child. So I feel like the Lord put something pretty specific on my heart months ago, and in some ways I feel like I've been avoiding it because I don't love getting up here, but I'm up here because I want to be obedient to the Lord, right? It's not about us. It's about him and bringing him glory. So hopefully this will be a word in due season and something that speaks to your heart and challenges you and whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. That's between you and him. But I'm just going to pray real quick and open us up. So Jesus, we just invite you into this place. You're already here, God, but we just open our hearts to you, God, and whatever you want to do in this place, God, we say yes today, God. God, I just thank you for the reminder that you give us, Lord, that this life is not about us, Lord. It's about you, Jesus. It's about your purposes, God, and bringing you glory, God. So we lay down everything that is in us and of us today, God, and we just say we want to receive what you have for us, Lord. And I just pray that you would just speak, God, that your word would just pierce our hearts today, God, and just change us, God. Make us more like you even this morning, I pray, God. In Jesus' name. This morning, the title of my message is Jesus and Homosexuality, and I'm just going to be sharing straight out of the word about homosexuality and sexual sin. And I was thinking about coming up here, and it's not like super easy. It's not like I'm coming up here and talking about something that's like the identity of Christ or how much God loves you, even though that's going to be part of this message. But I don't know about you, but I don't hear this preached very much at many churches. So, but it's easy to come up here because I know I'm being obedient to the Lord and I'm just sharing what I feel like he spoke to me. But I'm going to begin just reading out of Matthew 24 and verse 36. It says, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man." And what I just feel like the Lord has been stirring on my heart is that the church needs an awakening on this issue. If you think about what it was like before the Lord brought the flood, you can read about it. And we're probably familiar with this scripture, but Jesus, it talks about how the Lord was grieved when he saw man and that he literally regretted that he made man because of the sin that was going on in the earth. He was looking upon man and men and women and the sexual sin and the violence and everything that was going on in the earth, and the Lord's heart was grieved. Just think about that for a minute. We think about God high and mighty on his throne, but he's also a man with emotions, and he was grieved. He regretted that he even made mankind, and he felt like his only option was to bring a flood on the earth and basically start over. And I don't know about you, but it reminds me of what we see today and what's going on in society today. You don't have to look far. I feel like we have to strive to fight not to be consumed with the sexual sin, with the violence, with everything that's going on in society. How hard do you work just to protect your own children from what's going on in the world around us? I just think about what is our life, what is the world like now, even compared in the days of Noah? And I feel like it's probably really similar. And that's what it's saying here in Matthew. Just like in those days, it's going to be like that in the end times. And I believe that we are coming upon the time of God's return. In March, I had a dream that really prompted me being up here today. I don't know if the Lord speaks to you through dreams. But he does speak through dreams, and it's incredible. God can speak through anything, and if you read the Bible, it's all throughout the Bible, the Lord speaking through dreams. But I'm so grateful for dreams because I feel like I wake up and I'm like, I don't even deserve this. But we're so lucky that the Lord speaks to us, that he wants to reveal his heart to us. And I feel like with a dream, I didn't do anything. You know, I'm just sleeping. I'm just doing what I do every night, and God's like, I want to speak something to you. That's what I love about dreams. But in March, I had this dream, and basically the dream was that me and my family were on vacation, and we were kind of laying out and just relaxing by the pool. And all of a sudden, this group of the LGBT came in, and they were demonstrating and kind of protesting their right. And the people, the group that came in, they were carrying a huge cross on their shoulders. And it was exactly what you would picture as you picture Jesus carrying the cross to Calvary. And they were demonstrating, like carrying this huge cross and kind of demonstrating the weight of it. And what they were saying was, the cross is our symbol. Being a trans, being a gay is like the burden of carrying a cross. And now this is our symbol for our movement. And you guys, I woke up from this dream, and I don't know if you've had an encounter like this, but it was just the fear of the Lord was upon me. And it wasn't just like, oh, what was that? I don't know. It was like I knew the Lord was saying, we need to wake up on this issue. The church needs to wake up. And I was, even though I know where I stand and I believe what the word of God says about homosexuality, I was so convicted in my own heart, and I knew that the Lord was stirring a message in me to share for the church. So the main things that I felt like the Lord was speaking out of the dream, which might seem kind of obvious, but I felt like my family represented the church, that we were on vacation. We were kind of checked out on this issue. And here comes the gay community, and they're taking the cross as their own. The very foundation of what we believe in is the cross. What Jesus did on the cross is the foundation of everything. No matter what denomination you are, no matter if you believe in speaking in tongues or not, we all come around the cross. It's the one thing that we gather around. And in the dream, this community was taking away and completely watering down what Jesus did on the cross and saying, no, what we're going through, that's like carrying the cross. And they were trying to steal the symbol of it. And I felt like the Lord was saying, the church needs to get home from vacation. We need to wake up on this issue because this is what's happening. God's design for marriage is between one man and one woman. This is so clear in scripture. And I'm going to read a scripture that we're all probably super familiar with in Genesis 2. It's the creation of man. And in verse 18, and I think Peter's going to be putting these up if you don't have your Bible. In verse 18, it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep. I'm jumping to verse 21. The Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord had taken from the man, he made into woman, and he brought her to the man. And in verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the word is so clear about homosexuality. You don't, in the Bible, you don't even have to guess. The word homosexuality is throughout the word. And I'm going to read a portion of scripture out of Romans 1. And it's a little bit long, but it's so good. It's such a powerful scripture. This is the Passion Version, and I'm going to be starting in verse 21. It says, throughout human history, the fingerprints of God were upon them. Yet they refused to honor him as God or even be thankful for his kindness. Instead, they entertained corrupt and foolish thoughts about what God was like. This left them with nothing but misguided hearts steeped in moral darkness. Does that sound familiar? This is why God lifted off his restraining hand and let them have full expression of their sinful and shameful desires. They were given over to moral depravity, dishonoring their bodies by sexual perversion among themselves, all because they traded the truth of God for a lie. They worshiped and served the things that God had made rather than God who made all things. Glory and praises to him for an eternity of eternities. Amen. And then verse 26. For this reason, God gave them over to their own disgraceful and vile passions. Inflamed with lust for one another, men and women ignored the natural order and exchanged normal sexual relations for homosexuality. Women engaged in lesbian conduct, and men committed shameful acts with men, receiving in themselves the due penalty for their deviation. And so I'm reading this, and God's word is crystal clear on the issue. But I've been asking myself, why is the church not speaking about this? Why are we, you know, we see these mega churches all across the nation. We see these pastors that have thousands of followers on social media. They have such a voice, but I'm not hearing this message anywhere. And I feel like the Lord was telling me a couple things, which might seem obvious to you, but it just so resonated in my heart. A few weeks ago when I was at prayer, I felt like the Lord was just saying, Christians are shying away from this issue. They're afraid to call out homosexuality for what it is, which is sin. Because probably everyone in this room, we know someone who is struggling with homosexuality or who is like in a full-blown lifestyle. Probably every single one of us, whether you're in high school or an adult or wherever you're at in life, we're surrounded by it. But I felt like the Lord was saying that the church has not been bold on this issue because a lot of the church lacks the power of God to see people delivered and set free from this. So we've been shying back, and what the world and the media and everything is telling us, they are feeding us lies, and they are feeding us a false mercy that says, the church, you need to love and accept. And you know what? They are saying, if you are speaking and saying that homosexuality is a sin, that is hate. That is a hate crime. But you know what the love of God is? The love of God is that he died on the cross for our sins. He died on the cross, on Calvary, so we could be set free. Why is the church not preaching this message? It has nothing to do with individuals. We do not hate homosexuals. We love them, and we should be burdened for them because they are seeped in sin, and they're seeped just captive to sin. We should be burdened for them and love them and praying for them, and we should be speaking the truth because you know what? If we don't speak the truth, who's going to? If you think about your coworker, your neighbor, your friend, your sister, whoever it is, if they are coming to you, believe me, they can put on a front, but if they are living this lifestyle of homosexuality, they are broken inside. Anyone that is living a lifestyle that knows Jesus but is living a lifestyle of sin, they are miserable, you guys. I don't care what they say. I don't care what kind of front they put on. And if they come to you and God gives you an open door, speak truth to them because the word of God is so clear on this. And you might be their only lifeline. You might be the only person in their life, even if you don't know them that well, to speak the truth. And what if God used you to heal them right then and there? What if God rose up in you and by the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of what God did on the cross, what if he used you even just saying, it is a sin and there is freedom? It doesn't have to be this powerful message. It can be you just being consistently loving that person and speaking truth into their lives. And what if God used you to bring freedom to that person? And what if you don't speak up? And what is God going to say when you see God in heaven and God holds you accountable for this person could have been set free, but you were showing them love, which is not love. We're going to be held accountable for this. You guys, we need to wake up to this issue. I feel like that society and the media is making this a political issue. It's not a political issue. This is the word of God. It's not about an agenda. It's not about them. It's about God wanting to set sinners free, both those in the church and outside the church. I recently read this book. It's called Gay Girl, Good God. And after I had this dream, I've just been trying to delve into more information. I don't have a lot of information or history with the homosexual agenda. I have this dream, and I'm like, okay, God, I don't know. You know, I'm a married woman. I don't really have a lot of experience with this community, and I'm a stay-at-home mom, so I'm not exposed to it a ton. But so anyways, I read this book, and it's such a good book. It's by Jackie Hill Perry, and she's a woman who struggled with same-sex attraction her entire life. I think her first memory was like as a young child, and she shares her testimony of the struggle and the raw and the real. Sometimes I'm like, oh, this book is like, it was intense for me just to read, but I feel like the Lord was stirring my heart to expose myself to the truth of it. But she shares how the Lord delivered her from it. And she's married now with two girls and then pregnant with another, a third. She's an amazing woman of God. But I wanted to share this quote that was in her book, and it says, "Unbelief doesn't see God as the ultimate good, so it can't see sin as the ultimate evil. It instead sees sin as a good thing and thus God's commandments as a stumbling block of joy." Does that sound familiar? In believing the devil, I didn't need to wear a pentagram. Neither did I need to memorize a hex or two. All I had to do was trust myself more than God's word. I'm going to say that again. It's convicting to me. All we have to do to agree with the enemy is trust ourselves more than God's word. I had to believe that my thoughts, my affections, my rights, my wishes were worthy of absolute obedience. When we choose to only believe certain scriptures, or when we trust ourselves more than God's word, you guys, it is inevitable that we are going to fall away from the Lord. So I don't know what to what degree, but you are inviting, we're dividing deception into our lives when we pick and choose the word of God and don't take it as a whole. Like I read in Romans 1, it says that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And then in verse 21, it left them with nothing but misguided hearts steeped in moral darkness. That's exactly what's happening in a lot of churches in our nation. There's so many churches who are tolerant of homosexuality. And I'm not saying we want homosexuals here. We want worst sinners in the world to come to this church because we want them to get free and delivered. I'm not saying that churches shouldn't be open to that. We should be. This should be the safe place for any sinner. But what I'm talking about is churches who blatantly and openly say homosexuality is not a sin, who blatantly and openly say you can be a Christian and you can live in a homosexual lifestyle and there is nothing wrong with it. And I'm telling you, people are preaching this. They're preaching it. It's going on in our nation. And like I was saying earlier, I don't think it's the church's job to convince unbelievers that homosexuality is wrong. It's not our job to go into the world and Bible thump. But if God gives us the opportunity, that is the Holy Spirit giving us an open door to speak truth. But what I'm talking about here is keeping each other as the family of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ. If you know a brother and sister that is saying that homosexuality is okay, you guys, we have to keep each other accountable. This is the word of God, and that is what I'm talking about here. I'm going to share another quote from this same book. It says, "Same-sex desires are actual. Though born of sin, they are not imaginary that one makes up for the sake of being different. But the actuality of the affection does not make them morally justifiable. It is the mind, when conformed to the image of sin, that moves us to call evil good simply because it feels good to us." And these churches and the media and all around us, it's saying, they're in love, they're happy, just leave them be. But you know what? God didn't leave us be, did he? God didn't leave us in our sin, and how grateful are you for that? And you know what? They're not happy. Those that are in this lifestyle, I'm telling you, if you've ever been in a place where you've fallen away from the Lord or before you came to the Lord, were you happy? Were you satisfied? Think about the difference in your life. I know in my life, I feel like there was a time where I pulled away from the Lord, and every day, the guilt and the agony that was in me, there's nothing like that. There's nothing more horrible than that feeling. And that's why Jesus died on the cross for us. Homosexuality is the same as any sexual sin or any sin. It leads to death, right? It leads to separation between us and God. If we know anyone that's struggling with this, just like I was talking about, Jesus didn't leave us where we were. We can't let them stay in that lifestyle. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 11. It says, "Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or who commit adultery or male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves, greedy people, or drunkards, or those who are abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that, but you have been cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." So that was most of us, right? Before what Jesus did for us, we were not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And I think any of us who have come to the Lord that know that feeling, that should stir a fire in us to want to reach out to the lost. God's word, his commandments, are not a killjoy. He doesn't speak about homosexuality in his word because he doesn't want people to be happy. God's intention of his commands and his words are to protect us. It's for our safety and our good. If we are obedient to the word of God, it brings joy in our life. It brings freedom, you guys. There's a mindset, a twisted mindset that we have been fed that is not true. It is kind and loving to speak the truth of God on this. And like I said before, God does not hate homosexuals. I know we've probably all heard that. The church hates homosexuals. God hates homosexuals. You know what God hates? He hates sin. He hates sin in my life. He hates the sin in your lives. He hates sin, and he hates the enemy. It's the enemy who had brought this and had perverted God's design for marriage and relationships. Okay, I'm going to end with this. I've just been trying to do like a little bit of research, and there's so much I could say, and it was really hard to figure out what to share and what to say, but I felt like this was really interesting. I didn't read the book itself, but I was reading about this book that was published in 1989, and it's called After the Ball. And it says, the title is How America Will Conquer Its Fear and Hatred of Gays in the 90s. And basically, this book is written by two people who are for like the homosexual issue, and they're talking about how in a span of 10 years, all the tactics that they use to basically normalize homosexuality in America. And I just want to read this because I feel like it's so interesting. So these are some of the things that they wanted to do to transform the beliefs of ordinary Americans about homosexuality or homosexual behavior. Talking about gays as loudly and often as possible, portraying gays as victims, not as aggressive challengers, give those who support homosexuality a just cause, the sense of fairness, make gays look good, get funds from corporate America. And then it went on and it shared three specific things that were on their agenda that they did. Or that they aim to do. And the first one was have homosexuality removed as a disorder from the American Psychiatric Association. Number two was remove all the sodomy laws in America. And the third thing on their agenda was have the church in America renounce homosexuality as a sin. In 1973, the APA, the American Psychiatric Association, the largest psychiatric organization in the world, made history by issuing a resolution stating that homosexuality was not a mental illness or a sickness. And the article that I was reading said this declaration helped shift public opinion, marking a major milestone for the LGBT community. Then in June of 2003, the Supreme Court ruled that any sodomy laws that were in the states, so there's federal laws and then there's statewide laws that can differ from the federal law. So the Supreme Court ruled in 2003 that any laws that were still in certain states, any sodomy laws, were all basically invalid. And it declared it was a protected right, basically, for homosexuals to have sex together. And sadly, as we know, there's many denominations in the Christian church, those who preach the Bible, who have said, this is the love of God to love homosexuality, who have come out and like changed, you know, their statutes and changed the things in their denomination to say that they support homosexuality. But this is not about those individuals. It's not about this book or those that are for the homosexual agenda. This is the enemy's agenda. This is all about the spirit of perversion and the enemy's agenda against the world and against the church. He wants to do whatever he can to bring in deception. He wants to do whatever he can to bring in sin to separate us from God. The enemy hates God's design. He tries to pervert and he tries to do something different than what God's doing. And that's what homosexuality is. It's a perversion of what God instituted in marriage between a man and a woman. And church, we need to be more bold than ever before. And I'm going to end, but I just want to pray over us today. I don't know where each one of you stand, but I just want to pray today that a new boldness would come upon us, that God, and it's not even about where do you stand on the issue, it's about God, we want to know your heart on this issue. And I promise you, if you are open and you ask the Lord to reveal his heart to you on this issue, he's going to speak to you. He's going to show you on this issue. So I just want to, if you guys want to stand, I just want to pray over us before we go. God, we do, Lord, we want to know your heart, God. Lord, on everything in your word, God, on every and every issue, God, everything going on in society, Lord, we want to know your heart and have your heart. Jesus, specifically this morning, God, I just ask, Lord, would you reveal your heart about the homosexual community to us, God? Jesus, I just pray for an awakening upon your church, God. Lord, I ask, God, that you would forgive us for compromise, God. Lord, I ask that you would forgive the church in ways, God, that we have not been bold, God, that we've shied away from the church, God, shied away from speaking the truth about sin. God, I thank you, Lord, that you don't care about inconveniencing people, God. You don't care about keeping us comfortable, Lord. Jesus, you died on the cross for the world to be saved, God. Lord, your inheritance, your reward is the church, God. It's those who choose you and love you, God. And this is your intent and your purpose, God. And I just pray that even this morning you would infuse us with a new boldness to speak truth, God. Lord, I pray that your word would penetrate our hearts, God, and that we would be a church that knows your word, God, that we would know your heart, God. Lord, I pray that you would give us your burden for the homosexual community, God, that we would love them, God, that we would minister to them, God, that you would give us the answers to bring deliverance and freedom, God. That is your heart and your desire, God, and we want to agree with you, God. We want to partner with you, God. God, pour your spirit out upon us, I pray. God, open every heart, Lord, to receive truth, God. I just pray this in your name, Jesus. Thank you for